that they complain, but the complaining is really masking a boast. Have you met people like that? And you say to them, you know, how's life for you now? And they go, oh, I'm just so busy. And, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing this. And actually, it's a complaint. But really, what are they doing? They're kind of boasting. I think that does happen for some people. Other people, when it comes to busyness, they blame their husbands. They blame their wives. They blame their parents. They blame their families. They blame their bosses. They're forever blaming other people for their own busyness. Okay. My question lastly is, so what does Scripture have to say about this? If you've got your Bibles, come with me to Ephesians. Ephesians. Okay? Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and where could we start? Maybe we start at verse 15. And it says this. It says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. So be careful how you live. And then verse 16, it says, make the most of every opportunity. You know, I have three rings on. You can see this. I have bling, bling, bling. And my little one here, my little one on this pinky here, this little ring here, I've told you this before, has two words on it. And the two words are carpe diem, which is like seize the day or grab the opportunity. And I'm very much a person who's wired that way. I love to grab each and every opportunity. But my learning curve in this is that, because that can make for too much busyness. I can be running from this to that to everything else. And some of you have noticed that. But I've got to, what I've got to do with that is do it wisely. And that's what this verse is saying. It says, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And then verse 17, it says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. There is a shepherd who can guide and direct our every day, who can tell us how to live a careful life. And then it says in verse 18, do not get drunk on Pinot Noir. Or Merlot. and you know, sometimes in what some people do with their busyness is they try to escape from it. And for some people, that's at the end of a bottle. And it's an escaping thing. But you know this. When we escape from things into a movie's are good. And wine is good. I mean, I don't think Paul is having a go at wine here. I think he's having a go at drunkenness. But what Paul is saying is that escape will not help you. Escape doesn't replenish your soul. Yes? And then it goes on and it says, in verse 19, it says, rather speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, and always, always giving thanks to God the Father. In other words, find those spaces in your life where you come to the quiet and you do things that nurture and replenish your spirit and your soul. That's what it's saying there. But the verses that I wanted to concentrate on were, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. So, what these verses seem to be saying, people, is that you can get a hold of the schedule in your life. You and I can grab hold of the reins of the schedule in our lives. We can get control of the schedule. My question is, this is my last question, how do you do that? Everybody says that. Get control of your life. Grab the reins of your schedule. Come on, people, you can do it. Now, we hear that often. And then people trot out all these kind of cliches on how to do that. How do you do it? What's the secret? What we've tried to do in this series that we've been doing at the beginning of the year is to introduce a slightly different angle on our topics. So Ruby did the circle of security. Not many had heard about that. That was last week. And the week before, I did that thing on connecting to the bidder. And that can save our marriages. Not too many people had heard that. So my question this morning is, what is a unique way to grab hold of the reins of our schedule? Stay away from the cliches. How can we do that? How can we get more control over our schedule? Oh, wise people, talk to the person next to you. Go to it. Is it going? Hey? Is it? Okay, friends, here we go. So, I don't know what you said to the people next to you, but I heard someone say, well, just say no. And that there's a lot of wisdom in that. Anybody else want to give me what you came up with? How do you get hold of the reins of your busy schedule? Anyone? Beg your pardon? Plan. Someone said plan. Very good. Anyone else? Beg your pardon? Take a step back. Anyone else? One more. Yeah. Beg your pardon? So you give the reins to him. Okay. This is where I've got to on this one. And it goes like this. I think our schedules are not so much an issue of what to do, but who we want to become in life. And I think for some of us, that is an unanswered question. The kind of unique angle that I want to take to finish this off this morning is this, is that our schedules, our busyness, is not so much about getting through the list and what we want to do. It's about who do you want to become this year? Who do you want to become? So the best way I can illustrate this is by telling you a few little stories, true stories, and they go like this. The first one. I read of a pastor, for example, and he was heading out the door one evening to yet another meeting. And his little three-year-old came trotting to the door. Big blue eyes, saucer-like, looked up at Dad. And so he bent down to give her a little peek on the cheek and to say goodbye. And she said, as he was doing this, as he was bending down, she said to him, oh, so Daddy, you're going out yet again to another meeting. And he said, yes. And then they said goodbye. And then he got into his car, but he had this, as he was traveling to the meeting, he had this nagging feeling, this awkward tension beginning to build up inside of him. You know, he couldn't forget the kind of the pleading eyes and the look of his little one. And so he went through the meeting because that was in his schedule. But later that night, as he was trying to get to sleep, he thought, but surely she is in my schedule as well. The following morning when he was at a cafe, he was sitting down with pen and paper, and this pastor just started to ask himself the question, how can I invest in my time in a different way such that I become a really good dad? Now let me be honest. I wished I had done something like this those decades ago. But I didn't. So please do not hear that I'm standing up here as some paragon of virtue in this area. But I am willing to learn from wisdom. And so he wrote down this question and he prayed to his God. And he said, God, how do I do this with everything that I've got to do, but also my little kids? So this was his question. And then he heard a whisper. And I've met this pastor and I can trust this guy. He heard a whisper. He heard the God at the center of the universe speak into the very core and heart of his being. I mean, our God is a shepherd. And he heard this whisper, and the whisper said, 4 nights. 4 nights. And he gulped at that point. You mean 4 nights? Yes, 4 nights. And so then he got his schedule out, and he started to put, I will be at home 4 nights every week. And he put home 1 night, home another night, home the next, home 4 nights. And I think we have it here, home, 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 home. And he became a superb dad. Now, I wish I'd done that. See, the pastor had worked out who he wanted to become. And then he got hold of his schedule. And he altered his schedule, and his schedule, his altered schedule, helped him to become who he wanted to become. You know, in my job, I ask people, I get people coming to me actually sometimes, and they come to me and they say, oh Mick, I don't seem to experience God the way you do. And then they say, oh Mick, and I don't hear God like that pastor or like you do. I don't hear the whispers. So my next question that I invariably ask is, so tell me, how do you connect with God each day? But I know the answer before they even speak. What do you mean, connect with God each day? Because, you know, the research tells us that most Christians in most churches are now no longer doing this. And they expect people like me to come up with this kind of magic wand and sprinkle dust all over them. But actually, what you have to do, if you really want to experience God and hear his whispers, you've got to alter your schedule. And for me, that means having chair time. And I think we have a... Here's my chair. Can you see that? It's not a very good photo. It's an old chair. It's a Dutch chair. I bought it at a second-hand place, and that is in my study at home. And I have set times each and every day where I sit in that chair and I connect with my God. Now, I'm not talking, people, about, you know, a heavy Bible study or, you know, a one-hour intense meditation type thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you come into that time of quietness. Where you slow down. And where you have protected that moment from all distractions. And more importantly, you do it in your best time that works for you. And you do it every day. And you put it into your schedule as chair time. And you become someone. You know, I heard of a couple, and they'd been married 15 years and their marriage was falling over. And so a dear friend came to this couple and said, look, you've been married for 15 years, don't quit, don't give up on your marriage. And he said, this dear friend said to this couple, look, you've been married 15 years, how about you just give 1 hour a week to going to a counselor for 15 weeks, for every year 1 hour. And I'll have the counselor paid for. And so they went to three. They did 3 weeks, 1 hour per week. And after 3 weeks, they gave up. And they quit on their marriage. And it did fall over. And what I want to say to people here is that if your marriage is teetering, and there are always marriages that are, and if your marriage is teetering, don't give up on it. Alter your schedule and put an hour a week into your schedule to doing something that can build up that marriage again. If you've been married 25 years, do 1 hour per week for 25 weeks. Never give up on your marriage. Fight for it. But you've got to alter your schedule to do that. I've got to finish. I had one more story here and then we're done, and it goes like this. I heard of a guy who was in a dead-end job, and he looked at his life coming up and he thought, gosh, decades after decade, I'll be in the same boring job being lowly paid. And he thought, what do I do? This is terrible. And so then one day he was leafing through a community college brochure, and he saw that there was a course being offered on a Tuesday night in the area of his passion, of his dream. And so he thought, well, I'll sign up. So he went to this college course, and he did the first 2 or 3 weeks of this college course, and he loved it. And so then he got his schedule out, and he answered, who do I want to become? I want to become this dream thing. That's what I want to become. And so for the next 104 Tuesday nights, he turned up to that community college. And then he finally got this new qualification that enabled him to apply for the job that he had always had his heart on. And now he's in that job and it's well paid for, and his levels of personal vocational contentment have gone through the roof. People, how do we work around our busyness? It's at the beginning, and it's usually at this month of March, that we have to ask the question, well, who do you want to become this year? And then when you've decided who you want to become, I want to become a good dad, rework your schedule. Or, I want to become a connector with God, rework your schedule. Or, I want to save my teetering marriage, rework your schedule. Or, I want to have that dream job. Rework your schedule. Decide in March who you want to become this year. And then put it into your schedule. That's what I reckon. What do you think? Tell the person next to you, what do you think, really? Let's all stand. Yeah. Let me send you out. Thank you for coming this morning. It's nice to have Tim and Lisa's family here. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. So, our God, you have placed a heart within us that yearns to become. And we even believe that you can whisper into our hearts dreams and passions to become. And my prayer is that, especially in this month of March, that you will help all of us in this room, because you are the shepherd, to settle on who we need to become this year. And give us the courage to rework our schedules so that we can become who we need to become. And so we pray this, O God. Help us to be wise. Help us to grab hold of this opportunity in March. Help us to truly become who we need to become this year. And we pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and in the Holy Spirit. We pray this in your name. For our sake, for the sake of our dearly loved ones, and for the sake of others, and for the sake of your glory. And we all said, Amen. God bless you. Yeah. Though we can fall, let's change it.